Broadcasting Network, March 20th, 2022. We had some connection problems, myself and the network. Very, very interesting. Everything on my computer just went to a bleep, and I could see that he was trying to get a hold of me, and everything just loves to do that right when the show begins. Just a warning for everybody, the archives are down, the RBN archives, and so he said they'll be going to be down for a couple days. And so anybody that's looking for the show in the morning, hopefully Hooli over at Hooli's blog will have it commercial free, Hoolis blog, hoolisblog.blogspot.com. Sorry about the hiccup at the beginning of the broadcast here. Chat rooms, the number 2incendiaryradio.chatango.com, 2incendiaryradio.chatango.com, and incendiaryradio.chatango.com. So there's that. Welcome to everyone. This last week, today I was just having a conversation with my mom and one of my late father's buddies that he worked with. He's 82, and it's pretty interesting kind of the way it went down, because we got into the vaccine thing, and then we got into the Russia Ukraine thing, and I really didn't want to get into the subject matter. I was like, you're probably not going to, after he's like, oh, that crazy guy over there in Russia. And I was like, well, you're probably not going to like the way I'm viewing this. And he happens to have Ukrainian lineage. His grandfather was from the Ukraine. And, I had a buddy that I worked with for quite a while that was Ukrainian, and he immigrated here, him and his family and everything. And there's a decent sized Ukrainian, let's just say, group of people living here in St. Louis, a bunch of people from all over, the Balkans, and there's Bosnians all over the place here, and some Serbs and, that sort of thing. And there's a bunch of Ukrainians here, and we got quite a few Russians here. But, we got into it, and it was just like, well, look. And I kind of had to school them on the Holodomor and Stalin and that sort of thing, and how I didn't feel it was super, super clear at this juncture that Putin is a solid communist. Okay. Like I said, he's the real enigma here in this 21st century, where his heart lies. And he's done some good things, and he does some alarming things. Some of the projects that they're involved with, the whole transhuman arms race and this whole thing. And I always just bring the analogy of, well, would you like it if, the Russians and Chinese had bases and bio labs nearby our borders? And look, the infiltration has already happened, especially in Canada with the Chinese. But look at our West Coast, full of Chinese. San Francisco, Chinatown, pretty much does its own thing. You got Chinatowns all over the place now, New York, LA, Chicago, so forth and so on. So, but San Francisco's the main real, Chinatown that's really, really been there and established and really runs itself through the Tongs and the other sorts of things. And we know the infiltration into our energy sector, especially the nuclear energy sector, Los Alamos and all that stuff, all these scandals over the years with Chinese penetration and all the espionage, corporate espionage by Chinese. And then we've, of course, the Confucius Institutes and the universities moving the Overton window very, very harshly over to Marxism here in the United States. And we see this with the advent of the Antifa chapters running around all over the place. Patrice Cullors and the BLM people were trained Marxists and so forth and so on. So the real question is, as the John Birch Society has maintained for quite a few decades now, that Russia, even now to this day, is the crypto still figurehead of the Communist International and world communist movements and so forth and so on. This surface back and forth between Soros, the World Economic Forum, the Rothschilds even putting their little tweets out about the Ukraine and how as Putin and Russia must be overthrown and this sort of thing. Like I said in the last few weeks, that doesn't completely convince me that this is the case, due to the fact that these people have us falling for the rope-a-dope constantly with their psyops and trauma-based mind control operations that they constantly perpetrate on the cattle as they see us. And so remember the matriarch of the Rothschild family, nobody goes to the war on this planet unless my sons say so, that type of mentality. And so, you know, I'm reading stuff from Paul Craig Roberts about the central bank chief in Russia and whether, you know, he's sabotaging their economy. And if you pretty much got a central bank, that's part of its gig, isn't it, to sabotage the economy? Isn't that one of the planks of the Communist Manifesto, as a central bank? So we always have to keep this in mind. Central banking and this Bank of International Settlements that sits over these central banks and so forth, it's really the model. And now we're going to move into this central bank digital currency and the rest of this. So let's just get a little flavor of what I've been throwing around and watching this week. Mr. Producer, get clip 13 ready. This is alternative media television, Christopher Green. Now, this guy's made a whole ton of money. He jumped in on Bitcoin at a relatively early enough stage to have made a lot of money, drives fancy cars, lives in Hawaii in a mansion and everything else. But, I've been watching, just stumbling upon his stuff and so forth and so on for quite a few years. So here's what he's saying. Go ahead and roll 13.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, I do not like to bring this news, but the United States of America is very close to an economic collapse of biblical proportions, something that I think will wreck the U.S. dollar, push us into hyperinflation, and ultimately introduce the new world reserve currency, because that was always the plan, ladies and gentlemen, is to destroy the value of the U.S. dollar through hyperinflation and make it so difficult for you to survive that they could provide the solution to the economic problem that they created. And so what I think is going to happen is we're going to have an economic reset of biblical proportions that destroys the value of the U.S. dollar currency and basically hyperinflates all non-dollar denominated assets like real estate, cash flow producing businesses, cryptocurrency, Bitcoin, and more. Now, these geopolitical events, of course, crisis after crisis. Notice this, it was crisis after the new Ukraine crisis, which are now calling for World War III, which I've talked about on this channel for a very long time. So here's my point with this video. And by the way, God bless each and every one of you tuning in. Jesus Christ is King and Lord. You need to get out of the dollar. This needs to be your wake-up call. You need to realize that if you don't get out of cash today, you are screwed. And you're going to be in a very dire situation in the coming days as they continue to blow up the debt. And I believe there will be an executive action very, very soon to do what? Introduce CBDCs, the new digital dollar, the new digital yuan. And of course, trust that plan, because this is the new economic system. They're going to need something catastrophic to occur to reset. And I believe this is going to devastate the middle class in the United States of America, which has already been devastated, into the new system. Because again, how else will they introduce what we know is coming? Universal basic income, ladies and gentlemen. Create the cash flows today. Realize you're going to have to pick yourself up by your bootstraps. You're going to have to learn new skills. You're going to have to diversify into blockchain, Bitcoin, get in at school, bitcoinrich.com, learn my new picks, my potential 1,000x picks at school. Before it's too late.
All right, you can stop it. And so he was throwing basically patio furniture into the pool while he was doing that video, if you're wondering about the side effects. I mean, you know, the sound effects, excuse me. So there's a lot of people really, really on that this kind of a tangent as far as where we're going to go economically. You know, this stuff, Trump has a lot to take responsibility for. And so if Mr. Producer, if you want to get clip 10 ready, you know, remember the lockdown stayed. Trump went along with these lockdowns. Now, what did they threaten his family? Did they threaten, you know, whatever threats they made on him? But he went along with it. Two stimulus checks under Trump. The lockdowns, the warp speed, you know, the money that gets allocated out to, you know, take care of businesses and so forth, all the fraud, waste, and abuse, and all the money ended up going predominantly to the people that didn't need it, the big conglomerates and box stores and everything else, and the little people got a piece of crumb if they were lucky. Okay, and people say, well, he had his whole cabinet that was in a mutiny against him anyway, and, you know, he picked all these toxic people, but the buck stops with, you know, when you're looking at the operation and the size of it that went down against us over the last couple of years with this COVID, Trump has to absorb quite a bit of the brunt of, you know, the responsibility for this. So let's listen to David Knight. He kind of throws Trump and Alex Jones and these guys under the bus, and I heard that this week, and I wanted to get it out on the air. Go ahead and roll clip 10.
No, it is a conspiracy. It's a global conspiracy, and you should pay attention to the people who pushed it, who enabled it, who funded it, who cover up for it, who continue to brag about it, especially Trump. I can't believe that that guy is still running the Republican Party for all practical purposes. How clueless can Republicans be? And when I talk about influencers who have influenced you in the wrong direction from the beginning of this, as I did on the anniversary on Monday, now I get a lot of trolls and pushback from the audience, not just from the government. How dare you talk about Mike Adams? How dare you talk about Alex Jones? I used to like you. Well, you're clearly part of the problem. Don't listen to me. And I told him, I said on social media, I said, well, I'll spare you the problem. You're banned. I can ban you too. You're going to embrace censorship and all the rest of this stuff? Well, then I don't want you to see what I'm doing, because you're the kind of person that snitches to the authorities. So I'm going to block people like that. I'll always block people like that from now on. And I will continue to talk about the lies that you were told by InfoWars, by Natural News and Mike Adams at the very beginning of this, the lies that you were told by Joe Rogan, the lies you were told by Donald Trump. These are the people that are worshipped by the MAGA crowd. Get a clue about what's going on here. People are being killed, not just in Ukraine. That's why they're killing people in Ukraine, so you don't see them poisoning people here. It's one thing to grab a gun and start shooting people in the open. Everybody knows what happens there, but you've got somebody who surreptitiously starts poisoning people, right? That's the problem. It's the poisoners among us. So an information sheet containing details of over 200 leukemia patients.
Well, I don't, you know, this whole thing. Well, I'll ban you too. I mean, I don't agree with any of that. This whole thing with banning and blah, 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 blah. You know, I put my crap out on the ether and I got trolls. I got people that send me stuff that I covered a month and a half ago saying, hey, did you see this? I'm a regular listener. It's like, dude, do you even listen to this broadcast? I got people emailing me talking about, Ukraine being a second homeland of the Jews. I was like, dude, I put that out there a couple months ago because I still remember Tex Mars and these guys writing about it back in 2014. And people just like 3 days ago were emailing me this. Hey, most people haven't seen. I was like, yeah, I only covered it weeks ago. But, you know, and then the people telling me that they're a listener. Well, you're not a regular listener, because if you were, you would have heard me talking about it weeks ago. It's crazy. Everybody wants to put you in these email chains and then send you stuff that you've already covered constantly. And it's just like, dude, you're blowing up my email with crap that it's just like, you know, some people just, they send emails out like 15, 20 of them a day, like of stuff. And some of it's cutting edge and some of it's just like, dude, you're sending me stuff that I'm already reading. And so then you get this just, you just get mobbed with the stuff. Now, Mr. Producer, get clip four ready. This is Alex Jones today at the beginning of his broadcast. And so as David Knight, formerly of InfoWars, just threw Alex and the InfoWars under the bus, which there's some stuff that goes on in InfoWars that I still listen to. Greg Reese, some of his reports, some of them are good. Some of them are... let's just say he falls into the World War II Hall of Hoax cult. You know, a lot of people, they can't deprogram from the, you know, surface orthodox narrative of World War II that the quote unquote Axis powers were completely evil and the Allied powers were just good guys. And no, Roosevelt and Stalin and Churchill had all kinds of dirt with them. Okay. Oh, we defeated Nazism. Well, now you've got tranny swimming people in the NCAA that's tolerating these people to win tournaments. And there's a lot of pushback starting to really come. And I didn't queue up any of the clips of, you know, people at the tournament there with that, whatever, Lena or Leah person. But you're a man. It's really funny. People's really starting to get sick of these dudes. His guys are like 463rd best swimmer in the NCAA ranked. And then he's like, well, go ahead and transition and then I'll be number one, smash all these chicks out in the pool. And, you know, it's just so, these are demoralization ops, and we have to realize this. And this is what they're trying to do, is demoralize. But at the same time, girls are starting to say, hey, wait a minute, just regular, you know, earlier wave feminists are starting to really say, hey, this is ridiculous. And then people are starting to get sick of it in the crowds. They refuse to clap for this thing that as it comes in and wins first place. And when the first girl, you know, hits the end of the race, they all start clapping. So the pendulum is swinging. Unfortunately, the enemy has these things actuaried out, and they're doing 10 other operations on us while they're running that one. And we'll see how it all plays out. But anyway, so let's listen to Jones today, Alex Jones, at the beginning of the show, clip four. Go ahead and roll it.
Some of it. But what you need to know is that the Russians are warning that the deep state, the globalist deep state, we'll put the show headline up, it's live. But the globalist deep state may be planning a massive false flag by assassinating U.S. officials, including Joe Biden. Now, when I saw that Russian report, and I noticed that Biden is going to be in Europe for the NATO summit this week starting today, and you add everything else together, I have always believed, and you know this, that they're going to assassinate Biden. It never made sense how they were running a corpse. It never made sense how he would destroy them in the ratings. It never made sense about what would they do before the midterms. But by killing him, just like John Wilkes Booth killed Lincoln, he will then have the, quote, Reconstruction 2.0 or martial law in America, which will also then be blamed on the Russians. So they'll have a domestic crackdown. They've already geared up with January 6th as the cover story. They'll have an international crackdown going after the Russians and others and really hand dictatorial power to the deep state and the Democrats, which they will never relinquish again. The perfect false flag would be the assassination of Biden. Now, for those of you that don't know how World War I started,
You can stop it there. We know about Franz Ferdinand and the Archduke and all that stuff. I predicted that Biden wasn't going to last a whole year before they sent him out to pasture one way or the other. So, look, we're looking at 14 months. Okay, so you got these midterms coming up. You know, oh, it's going to be a bloodbath, red wave, and blah, 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 blah. You know, with the exposure of how utterly corrupt this voting system, this election system is in the United States, there's no telling what's going to happen. It is very plausible that they might pull a stunt, some sort of an assassination stunt pre-midterms, just to shut those down for a period of time, go into some sort of a emergency government. We're already under emergency powers. We've been under these emergency dictatorial governments since the 30s, as we all know. But I'm saying on the surface, to where even the normies think that, oh my gosh, we're now under some sort of a occupational, militaristic, dictatorial system, other than the previous de facto system that we were under. The de jure system's been gone for who knows how long, but long, long time. But the de facto system that we're still running now on the surface, where people still think the Constitution and the Bill of Rights are in effect and so forth and so on. So now we might go into this new, especially if they do decide to, you know, put Joe out to pasture and, you know, put him in a dump somewhere, or, you know, who knows, you know, put the pillow over his face, some secret service agent, or, you know, how these dirty SOBs that run these governments do it. Look, they did Scalia. I was just looking back at the Scalia stuff today, and how crazy is that? The whole Cibolo Creek Ranch, this Poindexter character, the International Order of St. Hubertus, which is kind of like fellow travelers with the other papal knighthoods. And, I mean, Pope Francis being there in proximity, this big dust-up over the border that was happening, and just, I mean, going back, I did a really interesting like show right after it happened, and holy cow, it really, really busted. All of it was like totally spot on, and it was very creepy that I just found this crazy YouTuber guy that somehow latched onto this information, and it all turned out to be smack dab right on. Very nuts. We'll see you guys on the other side of the break.
The truth. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
For over 20 years now, Extendabite has proven time and again it really works. Here is a testimonial from Amazon.com. I received an arterial switch at birth. In my mid-20s, I started getting slight runs of NSVT. Nothing too serious, but enough to cause worry. I started taking Extendivite a little over 2 years ago, and it helped cut the palpitations and NSVT down drastically. This isn't a cure-all supplement. I strongly recommend a good diet and exercise to aid in any heart troubles you may be having, and I strongly recommend giving Extendivite a try. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a two-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
He sat in a room in a square the color of blood. He'd rule the whole world if there was a way that he could. He'd sit and he'd stare at the minarets on top of the towers. For he was the beast as he hatched his new plans to gain power. And the snow fell, covering the dreams and ideals. And the snow fell, freezing the blood in the wheels. And the snow, they had to keep warm for survival. And the snow fell and defeated the beast's only rivals. They took the old roads that Napoleon had taken before. They fought as the forces of light against the darkness in a holy war. One day they were looking out in the sunshine on the cornflowers. The next day they were freezing to death in the snow and the ice cold showers. As the snow.
All right, we are back. City Area Radio, Republic Broadcasting Network, Protocol 20. How clear is the underdeveloped power of thought of the purely brute brains of the Goyim, as expressed in the fact that they have been borrowing from us, with payment of interest, without ever thinking, that all the same, these very monies plus an addition for payment of interest must be got by them from their own state pockets in order to settle up with us. What could have been simpler than to take the money they wanted from their own people? Our two most prominent assassinations, Lincoln and Kennedy, and all the weird, you know, things that those two correlate with each other. I mean, you read the parallels of the two, and it's very, very eerie. And then Lincoln, the greenbacks, and then Kennedy, the treasury notes, allegedly, both had to do with money. Kind of interesting, among other things, but playing with the chosen money changers, money systems, both shot in the head. So, massive warehouse fires, Indiana at a big Walmart shipping facility type thing, and then this big one in Taiwan. So a lot of people are writing articles about this, that this is intentional sabotage to further stress the supply chains. People are saying Trudeau, and they got this big railroad strike going on up in Canada, and he's going to let it go and to further starve out the people here. You know, when you got these big conglomerates that own all the other corporations, I keep nailing this point home that this is how you can see the enforcement of these draconian measures across the board, across all these corporations. Because we think, oh my gosh, how are these corporations all just on the same page? Well, guess what? Because they've all got another owner up above them that a lot of us aren't paying attention to. Where are we going to go from here? Let's go to Mr. Producer, get clip 8 ready. This made its way around on BitChute and other places. This is an alleged American merc that escaped from the Ukraine, and he had to escape due to the fact that what he is alleging is that the Ukrainian forces over there, once somebody goes and volunteers with a merc outfit or some sort of whatever, that they're ripping people's passports up and they're not letting them leave and they're shooting people in the back and all this crazy stuff. So let's listen to clip 8 and then we'll kind of war game this out. Go ahead and roll 8.
So for any of you who are wondering what is going on, all right. We were part of the Georgian National Legion, the 102nd Ukrainian Territorial Defense. Okay. Our base got f***ed up. The base right next to us got f***ed up. Americans, British, tons of British dead. Alright? They're not saying nothing. They're counting our dead as their dead. They're trying to send us to Kiev with no f***ing weapons, no kit, no f***ing plates. The people who are lucky enough to get weapons are only getting magazines with like 10 f***ing rounds, okay? When they wanted to send us to Kiev, we said no. Our whole group, a bunch of Americans, Canadians, British. So they told us we had to get the fuck out or they were going to shoot us in the back. All right. So me, this British guy, and another American, we hid in the back of an ambulance to get out. We got to the border, and it was a whole nother mess. When you get to the border, anyone who has kit, anyone who has any military, they're pulling you out of the line, and they're sending you back to the front. We got dropped off about 5 clicks from the border, and we walked. And we get to the border in this humanitarian group with a bunch of ex-SF veterans from England, pull us to a sign and say, you need to get, like, pulled us out and like, hit us. And they were like, you need to dump all your kit. And they're pulling people out, cutting up passports, sending them back. So we dumped our We got like in all of our, we got in like Red Cross vests, and they had like humanitarian passes to get us through the Ukrainian border. People need to stop coming here. It's a trap, and they're not letting you leave. The best way to leave is like in a Vic or a car or something. People who get on by vehicle have a better chance of hiding their kit in the back, doing whatever the fuck they can, but do not try to leave Ukraine on foot if you're a volunteer. It's a mess. And it's a trap. And I have multiple people who can confirm this story for me. I'm getting...
Alright. So that's the end of that. So, you know, is this plausible? Definitely. Is this 100% legit? I would lean towards saying it's probably legit. Okay. Just knowing how some of this stuff works, you got a lot of people that got sucked into going over there that watch too much TV. And so, and some of these guys probably work for little fly-by-night outfits that are promised them a few hundred grand a year type thing, and so forth and so on. There's a lot of ex-military guys that want to get paid. And remains to be seen, but I wouldn't put it past the gangsters in the Ukraine due to the fact that I know how gangster our government is as far as foreign policy goes, and how ruthless they are, and how what a Charlie Foxtrot, a cluster F, you know what I'm saying, that they always have going on. So I watched the Ukraine on Fire movie from Oliver Stone that he was the executive producer of over the last few days. And it really lionizes Russia, and it really, you know, rips on this whole Nazi blah 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 thing, and it really didn't go into the history of the Holodomor, the Soviet genocide of the Ukrainians, and due to the, you know, and so they want to constantly pile on this Nazi thing, but Nazi, that stuff doesn't happen in a vacuum, okay? Communism, you know, people talk about Hitler and the rise of Hitler and all this, but look at the history of communism with all the Jewish Antifa brigades and everything else that was going on in Germany before Hitler, and Germany damn near falling to communism. Okay, and these Jewish gangsters, that what do you think they would have did to these German people if they would have solidified their power in Germany? Do you think they would have had mercy on the Germans? What we got? We got a few minutes left. Do I want to play that yet? Let's start it. Mr. Producer, get clip 7 ready. This is about Dostoevsky, okay? But anyway, Ukraine on Fire gives it kind of a, it's kind of one-sided to where it really lionizes Russia and it doesn't give the full history. But the whole Maidan coup and everything, and I was interesting to watch the parallels here to the January 6th operation, because the very thing that Noodleman Kagan's State Department funded coup did was almost to the T, the January 6th operation, except the absence of snipers and gunfire. But they infiltrated the crowd. They put a bunch of jerks in the crowd to really fire up the police and so forth and so on, attack the police. And then well, the new government came in with the end of the Ukraine, and then the fake government, which is the Biden administration, came in here in the United States. Now, you think what you want about Trump. They did steal this thing from Trump. Trump overwhelmingly had the support of way more Americans than buy dung. All right. Now, whether you like Trump or not, it's a whole other story. But you have to realize Trump had way more support, and is, you know, whether you like the warp speed crap or not, and all the rest of the Jewish gangsters like Jared, his son-in-law, and all that, and all the other stuff. He still won the election. But the Ukraine is a trap for the best Ukrainians to be liquidated. And think about these mercs, the best and brightest of the ex-special forces guys getting sucked in there. And what's going to happen to them? They're all going to die too. And which softens us up, our country's up, for the collapse invasion scenarios. You got all of our ex-special forces guys, they're promising them all this money to go, you know, help out the Ukrainians, and they're going to go get liquidated by the Russians. And then that helps the Khazaria 2.0, you know, all these refugees, up to 2 million plus allegedly, that have left. Oh, free space for the second Jewish homeland. Isn't that nice? But let's listen to this Dostoevsky stuff. Very, very interesting. Go ahead and roll clip 7.
Dostoevsky was one of Russia's greatest writers. The son of a physician of modest means, he had the opportunity for an education and was trained as an engineer. He remained close to the common people of Russia in the experiences of his life and in his writing. Dostoevsky was a fervent patriot, but his association with a circle of radical writers led to his arrest at the age of 27. He was subsequently sentenced to death and at the last minute transported to Siberia, where he spent 4 years in a prison labor camp. This was followed by several years as a private in a Siberian unit in the Russian army. After his return from Siberia, Dostoevsky wrote a number of novels, including Crime and Punishment, The Idiot, The Devils and the Possessed, The Brothers Karamazov, all of which enjoyed immense popularity. It was his Diary of a Writer, however, published in a number of installments in the period of 1873 to 1881, which most explicitly stated his feelings for his people and for Russia. Dostoevsky's diary dealt with a great many issues of burning interest to his fellow countrymen, showing clearly the insight and sensitivity which made him one of the most beloved of all the great writers Russia has ever produced. Boris Brazov, who translated Diary of a Writer into English, has described the reaction of the Russian people to Dostoevsky's death on February 9th, 1881. Quote, "The news of Dostoevsky's passing spread instantly, like an electric current, to the remotest parts of Russia, and a wave of mourning swept through the hearts of her saddened people. Enormous crowds attended his funeral, men and women from all walks of life, statesmen of high rank and downtrodden prostitutes, illiterate peasants and distinguished men of letters, army officers and learned scientists, credulous priests and incredulous students. They were all there. Whom did Russia bury with so great a reverence? Was it one of our famous men of letters? Indeed not. In that coffin lay a noble and lofty man, a prudent teacher, an inspired prophet whose thoughts, like mountain peaks, were always pointed towards heaven, and who had measured the depths of a man's quivering heart with all its struggles, sins, and tempests, its riddles, pains, and sorrows, its unseen tears, and burning passions." End quote. As much as his people loved him, Dostoevsky in turn loved them and despised their enemies and exploiters. Foremost among the latter were the Jews of Russia. In Dostoevsky's time, there were some 3 million of them. Some descended from the Khazars, an Asiatic tribe of southern Russia, which had converted to Judaism a millennium earlier, and some who had flocked into Russia from the West during the Middle Ages, when they were forcibly expelled from every country in Western and Central Europe. Scorning honest labor, the Jews had fastened themselves on the Russian peasants and craftsmen like an army of leeches, money-lending, The liquor trade and white slavery were their preferred means of support and their means of destroying the Russian people. So great was the Russians' hate for their Jewish tormentors that the Russian rulers were obliged to institute special legislation, both protecting the Jews and limiting their depredations against the Russian people. Among the latter was a ban against Jewish settlement in central Russia. They were restricted to regions of western and southwestern Russia, the Pale of Settlement, where they had been most heavily concentrated at the time Catherine the Great had proclaimed the ban, in the 18th century. This, of course, was regarded by the Jews as persecution, and it was their incessant wailing, not being allowed to fasten themselves on the people of central Russia, which first moved Dostoevsky to set his pen to paper on the Jewish question. In the section of his diary, published in March 1877, Dostoevsky remarked, quote, "I know that in the whole world, there is certainly no other people who would be complaining as much about their lot incessantly, after each step and word of theirs about their humiliation, their suffering, their martyrdom. One might think it is not they who are reigning in Europe, who are directing there at least the stock exchanges and therefore politics, domestic affairs, the morality of states." End quote. Dostoevsky, who had become all too familiar with Jews and their personal attitudes toward their Russian hosts, first as a boy on his parents' small estate, where he observed the Jews dealing with the local peasants, and later in prison, where he noted the aloof behavior of the Jewish prisoners towards Russian prisoners, went on to speculate about what would happen to the Russians if the Jews ever got political control. Quote, "Now, how would it be if in Russia there were not 3 million Jews, but 3 million Russians, and there were 80 million Jews? Into what would they convert the Russians, and how would they treat them? Would they permit them to acquire equal rights? Would they permit them to worship freely in their midst? Would they convert them into slaves? Worse than that, would they skin them altogether? Would they slaughter them to the last man, to the point of complete extermination, as they used to do with aliens in ancient times, during their ancient history?" End quote. This speculation turned out to be grimly prophetic, for only a little more than 4 decades later, bloodthirsty Jewish commissars, who made up the bulk of the Bolshevik leaders, were supervising the butchering of Russians by the millions. Dostoevsky correctly identified the secret of the Jews' strength, indeed, of their very survival over a period of 40 centuries, as their exclusiveness, their deeply ingrained mental outlook upon the whole non-Jewish world as an alien, inferior, and hostile thing. This outlook led the Jews to always think of themselves as having a special situation or standing, even when they were trying most ingratiatingly to convince the non-Jews that Jews were just like everyone else. They maintained their inner attitude of a people who constituted a special community within the larger Gentile community. Dostoevsky pointed this out. Quote, "It is possible to outline, at least, certain symptoms of the status in statu, be it only externally. These symptoms are alienation and estrangement in the matter of religious dogma, the impossibility of fusion, belief that the world there exists but one national entity, the Jew, while even though other entities exist, nevertheless, it should be presumed that they are, as it were, non-existent. Step out of the family of nations and form your own entity, and thou shalt know that henceforth thou art the only one before God. Exterminate the rest, or make slaves of them. Have faith in the conquest of the whole world. Adhere to the belief that everything will submit to thee. Loathe strictly everything, and do not have intercourse with anyone in thy mode of living. And even when thou shalt lose the land, thy political individuality, even when thou shalt be dispersed all over the face of the earth, amidst all nations, never mind, have faith in everything that has been promised thee. Once and forever, believe that all this will come to pass, and meanwhile live, loathe, unite and exploit, and wait, wait." End quote. Is it any wonder that although virtually every American with a high school education has either read Dostoevsky's Crime and Punishment, or his brother's Karamazov, or both. His Diary of a Writer has been quietly consigned to oblivion by the controlled educational and publishing establishments in this country. More from Dostoevsky. Thus, Jewry is thriving precisely there where the people are still ignorant, or not free, or economically backward. It is there that Jewry has a stranglehold, and instead of raising, by its influence, the level of education, instead of increasing knowledge, generating economic fitness in the native population, instead of this, the Jew, wherever he has settled, has still more humiliated and debauched the people. Their humanness was still more debased and the educational level fell still lower. Their inescapable, inhumane misery, and with it despair, spread still more distinguishingly. Ask the native population in our border regions, what is propelling the Jew and has been propelling him for centuries? You will receive a unanimous answer. Mercilessness. He has been prompted so many centuries only by the pitilessness to us, only by the thirst for our sweat and blood. And, in truth, the whole activity of the Jews in these border regions of ours consisted of rendering the native population as much as possible inescapably dependent on them, taking advantage of the local laws. They've always managed to be on friendly terms with those upon whom the people were dependent. Point to any other tribe from among Russian aliens which could rival the Jew by his dreadful influence in this connection. You will find no such tribe. In this respect, the Jew preserves all his originality as compared with other Russian aliens. And of course, the reason, therefore, is that spirit of which specifically breathes pitilessness for everything that is not Jew, with disrespect for any people and tribe, for every human creature who is not a Jew. Now, what if somehow, for some reason, our rural commune should disintegrate? That commune which is protecting our poor native peasants against so many ills, what if, straight away, organized Jewry should fall upon that liberated peasant, so inexperienced, so incapable of resisting temptation, and who, up to this time, has been guarded precisely by the commune. Of course, instantly, this would be his...
Go ahead and pause that there, Mr. Producer, and I know we're coming up on break. We will see you guys on the other side. Hope you're enjoying this.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio. Only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.